You guys, this week on the podcast, I get to be the interviewee. Jamie is going to ask me some questions about how my business started, how it's progressed, and the unique way I'm running things now, which is very, very virtual. So let's dive on in.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, let's get excited. We have a very special guest on the podcast today. It's Heather Laurie Fear. Yay!
I'm here, guys. I'm here like every week, but this week, Jamie's picking my brain.
I am. We got a request over in our Facebook group, which if you are not a part of, what are you doing? Get on over there. Join us on Facebook because we'd love to chat with you outside of this community as well, or in that community. I don't know. Extended portion of this. I'm going to stop myself because this is just, if we're going to escalate into a place where Jamie can't recover from.
Yeah. Just get over there.
Just join the Facebook group. Okay, cool. Thanks. Bye. But someone actually specifically asked about our businesses, which is so humbling and so sweet. So we decided that we would interview each other. So in this week's episode, I'm going to be interviewing Heather on her business and how she got started. And she'll take us along that journey so we can all take notes because this woman is a master at what she does.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Yeah, I'm excited to share with everybody. It's because I do things a little bit differently than the average person in this industry. So I'm excited to share.
A little bit? Girl, you single-handedly saved my keister before I launched the master plan. You definitely are quite savvy in a lot of areas that I guarantee you our listeners are really going to learn a lot from you. So thank you for letting me interview you.
Oh, yeah. No problem. I was free. So just thought I'd hop on.
I wasn't doing anything else. It's fine. Okay. So when did you know? Like, when did you know that you wanted to do wedding planning?
Well, I would say I didn't know so much that I wanted to do wedding planning specifically, but I knew I was a planner from the time I was like real small. I was known to have a lot of leadership potential, you might say it in a nice way, at a really young age, aka bossy. So I came out ready to just take charge of things, super organized. And starting even as early as like middle school, I was the first person to raise my hand to plan anything from, you know, a fundraiser to a dance. You know, I took care of those streamers. I had them looking good. So way back then, loved it. And then it developed more towards weddings once I got into my adulthood years. And I actually had a company before doing wedding stuff that was just general event planning. And as I got known for that within my friend circle, they all just assumed, you know, events, she can plan those. So why couldn't she plan weddings? And around like my early 20s, I just started having people be like, hey, could you help with this wedding? And I'm like, I guess I don't know specifics, but I know how to plan an event. So sure, let's give it a try. And then my wedding happened and then things kind of just snowballed.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how that happens where it's like dabbling in events and then your wedding happens and you're like, well, here we go.
Yeah, it was just like that. And that was super exciting and super fun to be helping people with their weddings early on. I wasn't necessarily looking at it as a business. I was doing a lot of free stuff. That's what I was doing. I was like a volunteer. I was your volunteer wedding planner, which is kind of funny because it's kind of what I do now. I'm also kind of a volunteer wedding planner. So it's full circle, but I've monetized it in other ways now. So it works a lot better as a business. But back then it was just like every friend would just ask me and I was so excited and I was like, oh my God, weddings are so fun. This is going to be so great. Let me come over and spend like 20 hours with you this month, like helping you with every detail. And yeah, I was like a superstar friend, but looking back on it, I was like, dang, I should have been getting paid for that. And it wasn't until those friends started referring their friends that I was like, yeah, I'm going to probably charge people for this. And that's when I would say it really was a business.
Yeah. So with all that, I mean, like you talked about how you kind of dipped your toes into the wedding world. How did you get your business started? What did that look like? Because now you got referrals. Now you got inquiries coming in from people you don't know, but they know your past clients. How'd you get started?
Yeah, there was not really a pre-planning. It just kind of had started some momentum from the referrals, and I hadn't even gotten a website up or gotten business cards and those sort of things. And I was in tandem, still had this other business. So the other business did events in the marketing space, specifically with natural foods. You wouldn't think there was a lot of events there, but there were thousands of them.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes, everywhere. We work with Whole Foods and Sprouts and Jimbo's and Fresh Time Markets all across the country. And that company was acquired in 2018. So that was when I really went focus into weddings. So it was much later, but probably for about 10 years prior to that, I was coordinating weddings consistently for people all by word of mouth. And so there really wasn't a whole lot of setup at that point. I was just taking referrals as they came, and they were coming pretty consistently to my doorstep. So that was amazing. I think it's that word of mouth thing, as we discussed on your episode, that I was doing a good job. People were impressed and they would just send their friends.
Wait, I never knew this. Okay, whoever suggested this episode or this like idea, genius. I didn't know that you were doing weddings for so long before you even launched it as a business.
Yeah, I was doing them for a very long time. At points in there, I kind of thought, let me roll this out as a business. And I would go and get a license and I'd get a name. Like at one point, I lived really close to where Jamie lives at the moment. And I had the website Temecula Event Planner. I did that for a few years and then moved to a new area. And then I was like, well, I branded that a little too narrow because it's kind of just a suburb. And I was like, what am I doing? Should have gotten
more
regional. So at different points, I went by my name and then I went by Events with Care. I had like a whole series of different things and I had just done DBAs off of the company that my husband and I own. So it was kind of like this ebb and flow and it wasn't a consistent business, but the work just consistently was getting sent to me. And it was really good timing because I feel like at my age in that bracket, it was just so many people getting married. And I had a big network of people. So generally, I knew or was friends with someone that knew the couple. So I was not doing a whole lot of weddings for people who I fully was a total stranger to.
Hmm.
So wow. It was a bit unique.
Networking.
Yeah, it was all network-based. And it was crazy because, again, I was running another company that was very busy and doing this supplemental on the weekends. Maybe most years around 10 events, some years more, some years less. I mean, it was all over the place. And then once that other company sold, I was like, okay, I want to go into this. How do I really want to build this business? And what is the vision I have for it?
Wow. Oh my gosh, I'm learning so much about you right now. This is fascinating. So what did that evolution look like then? Because like clearly it was like on the side, DBAs, different names, and then boom, hit the ground running. But now what you do in your current workday looks different than what a regular wedding planner does. So like what, talk us through that evolution.
Yeah. So after the business was sold that I had before this, I was super burnt out. You guys, that company got going to a pace that I had not been prepared for. I was flying across the country all the time, running events that were tens of thousands of people attending them. Which again, you wouldn't think in food marketing, right? Like weird.
a little bit, yeah.
It was weird. It was a very niche thing, but kept me really busy and really exhausted me. And so when that went over to new owners, I just needed some time to decompress. Also, at that same time, my husband and I were fostering a baby. So, you know, like life was crazy. And we didn't know if we were going to adopt her or not. We ended up, she went back with her mother, which has worked out really beautifully for her. But in that moment, when I was thinking, where do I want to take this wedding business? Because I'd love to go towards that. I knew I wanted to focus on being a mom. So I didn't want to move towards a business that was going to be as time consuming as I knew being a wedding planner full time with a packed schedule would be. And that's where I started building something a little bit different.
Yeah, we have such a similar story in that, like, obviously we talked about this in my episode, but like really wanting to be like, I don't have the time that a stereotypical wedding planner, people's version or view of a wedding planner would have. I don't have that time. So how can I get creative by either taking on less events or getting creative with what I do with my time to make it successful?
Yeah, exactly. So I knew I love being at an event. I love coordinating event. It's so fun. The energy, like getting to be there with a couple and working with them through their planning process and seeing the day come together is so special. But I also knew that with a small child in my house, I did not want to be getting home at 2 a.m., which is like what would happen very often when I was running weddings. So I started thinking about how could I position myself. And what I looked back on with the experience I had is that most of the couples I worked with were very middle class. Their weddings were not super high end. They were spending under 20 grand. I'd say almost all of them were under 20 grand. And so I realized in this industry, I was working with people on slim budgets. To me, that seemed like plenty of money. I mean, throwing a party for 20 grand is, that's nothing to bat an eyelash at. Or I mean, I guess it is something to bat an eyelash at. It's a big deal to spend 20 grand. So for me, I didn't even know that these were budget weddings, but suddenly I realized like, oh, this is kind of my specialty at this point. So how can I better serve these couples? Because it was a price point where fitting a wedding planner or fitting a coordinator into their budget was hard. And so I thought, how can we lean into something more digital? My husband is an online marketer and has his own podcast, has all this tricky tech stuff he works with. So I was like, honey, how can I do this with the wedding planning and like merge this and make something really unique and cool? And there were several iterations. During the time where that foster daughter reunified with their mom, I was like really sad and devastated. And I just like decided, I'm going to write a book because I need something to distract me from how sad this is that this baby just left. So seriously spent like 4 months just every day writing a book, which I give away for free, which is just like, it's a brain dump of ideas all about different ways to save money. That process was a whole nother thing I could talk about too, is writing a book and problems that you can run into there because things did not go as planned. They never go as planned.
Oh my gosh. We have to do an episode on that. Ooh. I need more.
Yeah. There were some big stumbling blocks there and it just is what it is. And it's out there and I think it's helpful, but I look at it and I'm like, I want to make this so much better. There are so many problems in this book that I do not like that it is how it is, but I figure it's helpful to people, or nonetheless, it's helpful to people. So I just leave it out there as it is and give it away for free because I'm like, it helps. That's the point. So, and for me, it was like a healing process to be like putting all this creative energy, to be really just having this vision of helping so many people. So that's kind of where I went. And that's where I came up with the wedding hacker idea and kind of angling towards this goal of helping couples who right now in this industry, like don't have a lot of access to really reliable support or can't afford the support or just think they can't afford the support. And so I was coming up with solutions that would work for them. Ended up developing the Wedding Hacker Expo after that, which was an idea to just bring together resources and kind of get some excitement about this idea to help these couples who generally kind of get overlooked. And from there, the Wedding Hacker Club, you know, like all these different things developed and it's been really exciting and really built out an online-based business that earns money in a way that you wouldn't expect.
Which is
the mystery behind the Wedding Hacker. Because the crazy thing is like, it's not uncommon for me to have a couple reach out and ask me questions and want support with their wedding. And I just straight up give them free access to my stuff. Like hopefully this doesn't upset people in this industry that I do that sometimes. But for me, it's like, if a couple reaches out to me and they're like, I have $2,000 to plan my wedding, I don't want to take a dollar from them. I'm like, you need every dollar to make this day special. And I want you to have your special day. So all this stuff I've built, like have it for free and then nested into my course, there are all these little Easter eggs of affiliate links. And that's really where I make my money. And this is disclosed to the people using my program that as you go through my program, you will see me recommend things like Generation Tux or Lillian Live Photography. I love these resources. I would not include a single thing in anything I do that I do not actually believe in. But those companies send me money for sending people to them. They're also all resources that work really well with people on really slim budgets. So for me, it's a win-win because the couple gets the guidance, they get the support. I do monthly calls with these folks. Like, they're invited to come in and ask me questions and get this support they would not find elsewhere that works with their budget. But I'm getting money cut in, you know, I'm getting cut in on this deal with money that they're spending regardless. Like, they're going to hire a photographer. So if I'm going to get a little kickback, cool, then I make money. The couple's happy. The couple didn't spend more. The photographer's happy. They got work. So like, everybody is in a good spot, and it's really opening the doors for like a huge community to be helped and built up here. So it's been a wild ride to kind of flip this industry on its head, so to speak, and offer these sort of services. I do technically charge to join the club, but I'm just saying, like, it is not uncommon for me to do that, to just give it away, because I'm more motivated to help the couples. And I know for me, I can benefit financially in other ways from it, where it's like, if they can't pay me, they can't pay me. It's okay.
Okay, so we're just going to take a quick break because we want to tell you about this. And actually, Jessica has no idea that we're sharing this with you guys. But Jessica Bishop over at Budget Savvy Bride is developing this radical directory, you guys, a vendor directory for all of her viewers and all of her readers to access. And we want to encourage you to be a part of it.
Yes, you guys. She is putting something really special together. And what's really awesome about it is it's free. So if you are a wedding vendor and you want to get some exposure to some additional couples, this is a free way to do it. Head on over to thebudgetsavvybride.com/directory. That's thebudgetsavvybride.com/directory. And you can sign up for your free posting in their directory. And we hope it sends you a lot of work in the coming year.
Honestly, Heather, you are a master at affiliate links. I'm like, literally, I'm writing notes because I'm like, this is giving me so much inspiration because you're such a wealth of information on this stuff.
Yeah.
We got to do another episode. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write that down. And I do think we should interview Joe.
Oh, we could try to get Joe on here. Yeah. He'd probably be open to it.
I think that would be amazing, especially because he has so much prowess and knowledge in this space. It's clearly been beneficial and helpful for you. Although we all know that you would have done this whether or not you had a husband like Joe.
I would have done something. I don't know if it would have quite been so tech-based because I definitely push myself to the extremes with the tech stuff, you guys. I'm like, as much as I give you tools and ideas and I know the things, like me going through trying to set up like a new shopping cart for something, it is frustrating at points. I also get to the moments where I'm like, why did I do a tech-based thing? What am I doing? This is so out of my comfort zone. But slowly you get better and you learn and it becomes easier. And yeah, that's been my process with tech.
Yeah. And please take us through that process because you know that I was like, wait, Heather, what do I do? What do I do with this? Wait, how does this work? Wait, what am I supposed to do with this? You have been my guiding light through all of this digital space. And honestly, it's proven to be pretty darn successful for you. And it's like, this is what you do now, which is so crazy. So if you would reflect back on all this time and all these incredible experiences that you've had growing this business, what would you say would be like some of your biggest successes and your biggest challenges?
Well, you know, it's a mixed bag. So we got all of those in there. I'd say my biggest success was the Wedding Hacker Expo. I did not really know how well received that event would be and how lucrative it would be in ways that I, again, didn't expect. So going into it, I thought, I see a lot of these online summits. This seems to be a trend. Cool. Let's change the word to expo. Switch some of the details out and make this like a really beneficial event for couples who are on a budget and they want to tap into some awesome resources. And so I put this together and I was thinking I was going to make money just on the front end from couples who upgraded to kind of like a premium access for the event. And then sure, the sun will rise. There were surprises for me. And down the road, I found out like sponsorships, hey, oh, there's some money there, some big money. I found opportunities to co-reg, which basically means like there are some really big companies that will sponsor the event to have access to the email list. And ethically, I'm really like on the up and up about this. I disclose it to people as they sign up, but it's always people who are going to benefit them and I feel like are trustworthy. But finding those sort of partners, they will throw some big money at these things. And basically, I was super shocked at what I found. And putting that event together was like opened so many doors. It was crazy. But on the flip side, the challenge is, I mean, that was a hard event to put together and a really big stretch for my skill set, getting it to look right, getting all the email campaigns to plug in properly and to tag.
Oh my gosh.
Keep everything on the rails afterwards where I'm not like sending people emails about the wrong things. Like it gets crazy. And then when there's like tens of thousands of people in your email list, you're just like, this is bananas. How am I going to go through and fix this if things get broken? Like if people get,
oh my gosh, yes.
So, I mean, the biggest success was also, I would say, the biggest challenge, right? In there, all in one. But pushing through those challenges, I mean, it's made it something I'm really proud of and really excited that I get to share with the world. Now that that event is out there and live, I run it as an evergreen event. So I do ads and I've been learning like different ways to promote it and share it and bring in more folks to enjoy. And it's a great lead magnet. It is a heavy, heavy duty lead magnet as far as the amount of effort that went into it. It was probably a 4 to 6 month onboarding to get all that content ready and get all the tech built out. And that was like full focus all of my time. So, and this is not like a little cheat sheet that's, you know, a couple days and you clean it up, make it pretty. Like crazy, crazy investment of time and energy. But as far as what it's helped my business do, it's like the main thing bringing folks in. So it's been huge. I'm very proud of it. It's my baby.
As you freaking should be. Guys, I wish I could just record the business conversations that I get to have with Heather, because Heather, I mean, like, I'm just bragging on you. You are such a wealth of knowledge. The way you've put this together is so insane and so masterful, and you're so good at this. And honestly, we would not be here today if it wasn't for that expo. That's how we met.
That's true. And I remember reaching out to you and being like, this girl is so cool. No, see, I was like, she knows so much about weddings. She is so fun. Like her personality is going to just pop during this expo. It's going to bring people in. I know it. And I have to talk to her. And when I emailed you, I'm like, no way, never going to hear from her. And I couldn't even believe it when I got to have you part of the event. So it was, yeah, quite a thrill. And then as soon as we chatted, like you guys, if you haven't actually attended the expo, if you do, and you see this interview with Jamie, we like become friends during the interview. It's really cool.
You can watch it happen before your very eyes.
Yeah, it's so special. We captured that moment. Now we're here with the podcast. So it's pretty cool.
It is. It's pretty stinking epic. And what you've built is something I so admire. I know you say very nice things about my channel. I think the word superstar has been tossed out there, but really and truly what you do and how you've built it is something that we can all learn from, because I look at you and I'm in awe and I'm like, can I just ride your coattails?
Aww, that's sweet.
Just take me with you. I'll be the funny sidekick. Just let me know where you're going and I will follow. So it's been an honor to be a part of that process and to watch the master work, because yeah, I might have a loud personality, but you're the one who knows what they're doing.
Oh, I just get very creative. My philosophy is it's not a problem. It's just something you haven't figured out yet. So with any situation, like with the couples that I work with the business, like I never give up on it. And I think that's also something in my life that's carried across in all aspects, but I just keep going and pushing and looking for a creative way to solve the problem, because there's always a way to solve it. And it just takes maybe stepping back and looking at things with a different frame, or considering how you can bring together a few folks who would benefit each other to position yourself in the middle where you benefit. One person I really respect and love to listen to in the business space is Roland Frazier. He is a master at this with business acquisition and things, which is long-term where I tend to go. Joe and I definitely hope to invest in businesses and build things out to a grander scale, aiming to help couples on a budget. So with that in mind, I mean, I'm in awe of like what he does. And I just look at it as like, how can we get creative? How can we approach this in a way where it's a win for everybody and target some folks who don't really get the support and help that they need and are looking for something a little bit different than what this industry tends to provide. So yeah, that's kind of where I come from on my thought process.
Which is, I think, is something that you and I have stumbled upon that we find absolutely fascinating, that there are business gurus out there teaching business guru-y stuff, email lists and affiliate links and how to grow your business and blah, blah, blah. And very little of it is transitioning to the wedding space.
Yeah.
And both you and I have seen that and we're like, wait a minute.
It's true. And you know, the wedding space is a little bit different and it's its own little island, but the reality is almost every business is the same at the core. You know, you need your leads, you need to convert them to sales, you need to deliver your service or product, and ideally have them spread the word about how wonderful that process was to other people. Maybe in there you upsell them a little bit. You know, these are the core things that every business does, no matter what they're selling, bread or demos, like I used to, sampling events or weddings. It doesn't matter. So it's just looking at those core aspects and transitions in the business as you move people down the conveyor belt and figuring out how to do a great job at each of those and apply it to your business. So I love picking apart other people's businesses and understanding what's going on in their business and guiding them and helping them grow. So for me, that plays into it too, because it's like a fun game for me to solve these problems and to get creative.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. It's interesting because I'm actually, nobody hate me for this, I'm actually not a huge podcast listener. I'm just not. My ears are typically required by small people in the house. I very rarely have 35 to 55 minutes to spend with my brain invested in something else, like audio-wise. Someone's always doing something, so I have to be listening. But one that I listen to is Jenna Kutcher's Gold Digger.
Yeah, she's great.
And she's great. She's so good. And talking about business growth and development and email lists. And I went, why aren't people doing this with the wedding industry? Why? And then I meet you and I'm like, oh, very few people are, but this girl's doing it great.
Yeah, that's basically, you know, what this industry needs, because especially in the current situation, it's like, you're going to sink or you're going to swim right now. And you're going to figure out a way to get creative, to offer something different, to support your clients better. And think of what a hero you are to your clients if you can get them through this time where they are so overwhelmed and so lost, and how strong those referrals are going to be that come out of this. Like, I know it is slim pickings and tough times for folks out there who are doing the traditional vendor route, but like, have that as your light at the end of the tunnel, that you are going to do an amazing, exceptional job for the people you are working with right now. You are going to give them everything to make sure they feel supported and loved and taken care of, so that when they walk out of this and their wedding is phenomenal in a year or whenever, that they raise you to high heaven. That is powerful. And that's going to help your business be in a place that's going to be long lasting. And that reputation is important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we touched on this in the episode where you interviewed me as well, just like good quality will bring you good stuff. Like, just give them your best stuff for free. Help them out as much as you can. And honestly, great things will come of it. There's so much power in word of mouth. But okay, but I do have a question.
Yeah.
How much money did you invest? Like, real talk in the beginning.
Yeah.
Did you invest anything? How much was it? Like, what's that financial process? Because obviously we've got people listening who, some of our listeners may be interested in breaking into wedding planning or the wedding industry.
Yeah. So early on, not much was invested, because you guys, this like kind of just snowballed on me. So, and also, by the way, remember, friends were the people hiring me and I wasn't charging them. So didn't invest a whole lot then. Bought a clipboard because I thought that would be cool. So had my wedding planning clipboard. It even had like a storage pocket in it. So it was pretty fancy.
Of course it did.
It was really fancy. So that early on, not a whole lot was happening there. Eventually, you know, as I tried to put some branding out there and kind of, you know, make a little more of a face for the company, I had a website built, totally made Joe do that for me. So, I mean, asked him and he was lovely and did that. Didn't really pay anything there except for like the web domain and like hosting and stuff, which is just maybe $20 a year or something really, really cheap. But where things got a little more expensive, like when I got to the point where I was putting the website together I have now, there were a lot more tech tools built in there. Building the expo out was rather expensive. It was maybe about $8,000 to $10,000 went into it to build out all the website stuff.
Oh my gosh, what?
All the editing for the videos, for all the content, because I had to produce on the back end. If people have the upgraded access, they get notes for every session, they get audio files. Like there was just a lot of meat in that event. And so that cost a pretty penny, a lot of it tech-based stuff. And then there was editing done to the book. Although you guys, if you read my book, you're going to be like, she did not get this edited because there are errors.
Oh, no.
And I literally have a copy of that book in my desk, highlighted all over the place of all the things I want to fix when I re-release it eventually. And it is.
Oh my gosh.
But there's like a really sad story there that the editor I hired, she's incredible, but this is actually really sad. So it's not like the best topic to talk about, but she was attacked and sexually assaulted in the
middle
of her time editing my book. And I wasn't going to backtrack and be like, no, you're the victim. And now you don't get this job either. I was like, shit, like I can't take this work away from this woman who just had this freaking horrible thing happen to her.
Oh.
So I just kept checking in and she was literally in the hospital. Like it was bad. And she was like, no, this is going to give me something to look forward to. Like, I want to finish this. I want to do it. And I'm like, okay, I'll just keep waiting. And eventually gave it back to me months later. And I had like intended on already having it released. And it is very traditional, Heather, to want to be like overly excited and already start telling people. So I had already started kind of like teasing it and being like, it's going to be ready. And then it wasn't ready. And then Tween was like, I just can't mentally handle this right now. And I'm like, understandably, like I wasn't trying to pressure her. I'm like, do it, don't do it, whatever you want. But then she just kind of gave it back to me like halfway done. And I was like, well, guess this is the version of it that's going to be out there for now. So that kind of was a big foobar. But still, I think, again, the content in there is really good. And it was a big lesson for me on project management. And also like, it just broke my heart. It was like, thing to have her call me and tell me like this happened. This is why things are held up. And I'm just like, of course, like take care of yourself. Like this isn't fair or right. And yeah, so crazy weird things happened in the process of doing this. And that cost me some extra money because I paid her anyway and it didn't get done properly. And then I had someone doing the formatting of like the cover, and you have to get it formatted very particularly. It's a self-published book. So I'm not like a published author by anyone else other than our own company.
You're a self-published author to me, Heather.
Yeah, I'm very, you know, big deal. No, you guys, there's so many errors in the book. It's so embarrassing. Like literally, this is kind of funny too. When the day that I was mailing books out, because I pre-sold them, which is part of why I was like, well, they're going out like this. And I had to send it to like Library of Congress to be on file with a bunch of errors in it. And I'm like, this is so embarrassing. I have the printed copies and I'm mailing them to like the 100 people who pre-bought copies. Again, not very many. This was like right when I'm rolling all this Wedding Hacker stuff out. And driving to the post office, I remember hearing like a weird rattle in my back of my car. And in my head, I thought, I hope that's a grenade so it just explodes so no one sees these books. That's what I thought to myself. It was just like, I was so petrified for anyone to see this book that I was like, I hope I just explode in the air right now. I don't know, one, why there'd be a grenade. Two, I was just that scared to have people see this. It was like such a moment of being just vulnerable to like send this thing out that one, I knew wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. But two, it's just scary to like work on something for months and months and to be like, here, read it. I hope you don't tell me this is the worst thing you've ever seen.
Okay. I've never shared this with you, but my first awareness of who you were was because of that Facebook group that we were both in together. And you mentioned it. And I was like, I got to scope this out. I got to figure it out because I was already thinking about my online course.
Yeah.
I came at it from, I'm going to see what she does. Like, I don't think I've ever told you this. And I looked at your book and I was like, dang it, this is genius. What is like, oh, I like, no, I didn't read the whole thing.
Oh, like, see, that's perfect. That's what I assumed. Like, as I was mailing it out and I'm like, so many errors are in this, but I was like,
I didn't see a single one.
Whole book. They skim it.
I didn't see a single one. I was just impressed by you. And then you reached out to me for the expo and I was kind of fangirling. So I'm like, this woman wrote a book. She wrote a book and she's running an expo and she wants to talk to me, which is so funny because you were experiencing that on the other end.
Yeah, that's so funny. Well, I mean, that's just proof, you guys, for those of you who are trying to start a business, like no one knows what they're doing fully. Like we talk on here about ideas and things that are working, things that aren't working, but like literally all of us are pretending to be adults. Like we're just big kids. We're doing the best we can with what we know. And if you remember that, it makes it a lot less scary when you're starting a new business or when you're going after a big dream that seems impossible, because every single business you see in the world was started by some person who was crazy enough to try to go do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, honestly, like I know we have like our list of questions, which I'm sure we've made feel so organic that people don't know we're doing this. But this actually makes me think, what advice do you have for someone who wants to get started?
Well, I think you need to reflect on, how do you want to serve this community? Because the traditional approach to this industry is like you start, you maybe keep your prices pretty low to just get a bunch of experience, then you raise your prices, you move your way up, you try to get into premium so you can really live the dream life. But like, what appeals to you about this? Like, are you someone who really wants to do this full time? Are you trying to hit a financial goal, or are you wanting to serve a certain population or be, you know, working weddings in a certain area? Like there's a lot of different angles and specialties. So really think about what you want. And maybe at first you don't know. So get out there and test the waters and be a little more general and then find what really interests you and go towards that, because you're going to have so much more success with a targeted niche than you are just being like a wedding planner. Generally, I'll take any wedding. I'll do a $200,000 wedding. I'll do a $2,000 wedding. Like you're not going to be really, really good at any of them. And you're doing a disservice to yourself and your clients. Where if you know you are going to be the best at this sort of wedding, let's say beach wedding at the $30,000 price point, and like that is your jam, like do that, get really good at it, network with all the right people to do that well and grow your business right there. And you will keep yourself busy because you will build out the right team of vendors who can refer people back to you. You will find all those beachy people who are going to have their weddings at the beach and their friends will be beachy people. And you'll just have your little beachy circle and it'll be great.
And honestly, that's something that like so many people are afraid of pigeonholing themselves. Be like, well, I don't want to be known as the beach wedding person. I don't want to be known as, because then what if I lose clients? No. Because what you don't realize is you're developing a brand. You're developing some, like everyone knows that you're the beach wedding planner and they want to come to you. So it's this, there is a fear, and I've felt it too, of like, no, I don't want to be known as this. No, I don't. I don't know if I told you about a networking meeting that I went to where the speaker asked what demographic planners were working in, like what budget range. Did I tell you about this?
No.
So she was like, all right, so how many of you are in like the $0 to $40,000 range or maybe $50,000 range? How many planners do you have?
That's a big range.
Right? And I threw my hand up in the air. I was like, yeah, that's me. Of course. That's my home. That's my happy place. That's what I know. I looked around and no one else was raising their hands. And I was mortified. And oh my gosh, I totally recognize this is your interview and I'm commandeering.
No, I'm interested in this.
So, and then after that, she goes, okay, good. Yeah, glad you could own that. Good. And I was like, oh my gosh, my face was on fire. And then she's like, all right, well, how about 60 to 75? And then more hands shot up. And she goes, well, what about 80,000 plus? And then even more hands go up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just admitted to a room full of wedding freaking professionals that I handle the cheap seats.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just was ashamed and I was embarrassed. And in fact, a vendor friend was sitting next to me and leans over and he goes, that should be you raising your hand right here. And I thought, no, I don't, what? No. And we go and we sit down to have dinner afterwards. And I'm so embarrassed. Like, my cheeks are on fire. I'm ashamed. I'm like, why did I admit that in a room full of professionals? Not only am I one of the youngest ones in here, even in my early 30s, playing with the big dogs, but like, now they all know. They all know. And another vendor comes up to me. She's works with a DJ company. And she goes, oh my gosh, okay, can I just talk to you for a second? I'm like, yeah, of course. She goes, I just was so embarrassed, because all these planners are holding their hands up for all these high budgets. And she's like, we only have $25,000. And I just felt so ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, mic drop, threw off my napkin. I'm like, no, you were in the right place. You were doing the right thing. So often we think that putting ourselves in a hyper-specific niche is a bad idea. But in a room full of wedding professionals, I was the only person she could talk to.
Yeah. And I think that exact situation, that person was embarrassed of it, that's a huge part of the reason I angled my business the way I did. Because just like you, I planned my wedding for around $8,000. And I was laughed off the phone by people I called to get quotes from. And it was very hurtful. Luckily, I'm very freaking strong. So I was like, oh, I will show you. This wedding is amazing. And then I now look at it, I was like, and now I'm going to plan a whole bunch of other weddings that are amazing at this price point. So it just kind of empowered me that the industry at large was a little judgy of the small budget. And it made me feel like this just isn't right, because realistically, for most people, and I think especially at this time, like, we can all agree that dropping $50,000 plus on a wedding is a big spend. And that is a premium spend. Like, the average person in the US, I don't even think they make $50,000, the average household. So to think across the US, your average household is less than the average wedding these people service, that's outrageous. And so, I mean, good for them. If you got money to drop $200,000 on a wedding, amazing. Go for it. I hope I'm invited. I want to eat at that beautiful buffet, or probably many phases of meals for that much money. I cannot wait. But would I plan a wedding for that? No. Well, you know, even if I'm exceptionally wealthy someday, would I plan that wedding for my kids? Probably not.
Yeah.
I would still be like, money should be used as a tool, and let's make a wonderful party that's super fun for the people who are there without blowing all of our money on this, because it's just not necessary. And to me, isn't the point of a wedding, but to other people it is, and that's okay. And I hear you, and you want to just show, you know, flash a little cash, show what you got going on, good for you. But in my world, I am like the most proud if I can brag to you about an amazing deal I got at the thrift store, or a great pair of shoes I got at Ross. Like, that's just my vibe. So if you don't like that, I'm not the right wedding planner for you. But a lot of people do like that and find it really helpful and validating that they have value in this industry, even though they're not hitting those price points. And so for me, it was a perfect thing that it was just my personality. It's what I'm interested in. And I know how to do those sort of weddings. So for those looking for a tip, go towards what you know, go towards what you're comfortable with, what you're passionate about, because if you hate the beach and you become the beach wedding lady, you're going to hate your life and your job. So like, just put that together. You plan weddings you enjoy being at and working at in the areas you like being in, and those sort of things. Yeah, that would be my big tip for people. It will make your career more enjoyable. I can tell you that much.
Honestly, Heather, you are such a guru at this stuff, because you're right. I mean, what is it? 80% of couples plan their wedding without any sort of wedding planner or coordinator whatsoever in the United States.
It's about 70% go over budget and about 70% don't have planners. And I do think there might be a correlation there.
Ooh, I mean, you make a strong case. Also, apparently I'm exaggerating my percentages. So clearly never believe any numbers that come out of my mouth.
I mean, all these numbers that are reported in this industry are really hard to know for sure, you guys. Like, the Knot every year releases average wedding costs, but they survey like 14,000 people. You guys, they're like, I think it was 1 million, 2 million people get married a year. Like, it's a lot of people get married a year. And so 14,000 is like a tiny...
Such a knot. So small.
And when I looked at the data, I think it was about 10 states didn't even have anyone surveyed in the entire state. So it's like...
Wait, really?
Yeah. They didn't even get one couple from some states. So I'm like, yeah, this data is not quite right. And is the industry, you know, in the industry as a whole, it benefits these big companies to present that weddings cost a lot more than they do, because then people feel embarrassed when they're not spending that. They want to spend more. They feel pressure to spend more because they're not even average. And so I really empower my couples that, like, a lot of people are spending what you're spending. You're perfectly fine. And you can do something amazing with what you have. So again, for me, that works. For some of you, you're like, this lady's crazy. I like planning $200,000 plus weddings because it's fun. And I'm sure it is. That sounds very fun. But this is just what I know. And I have a heart for these people. So what I like to do.
Yeah. Oh, Heather, this has been one of my favorite podcasts we've ever recorded.
Oh,
it's been so fascinating to hear kind of behind, like, now I want to end the recording and be like, okay, wait, tell me more. Like, wait, I have more questions. I have more follow-up stuff. Thanks for sharing that journey with us. Honestly, your passion for your niche is so inspiring. And I kind of want to be like you when I grow up.
Oh, you already are.
I don't know. But thank you for indulging me and the listeners a little bit today, just so we could just hear more of your heart and how you did what you did. And now we can all go try to be as cool as you are.
Oh, yes. You guys can try, but it's going to be tough. I'm
pretty cool. I mean, they may not be wearing blue lipstick, but they could try.
They could try. It's hard to pull off. But thank you for having me on your fancy podcast, and I hope you guys enjoyed.
Oh, we're too much.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you've found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.
That was fun.
That was a good one. I liked it. Seriously, I'm not kidding. Like, I wrote notes during yours because I have more questions.